Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble All In Review Edition. I'm Ollie Davis, this is El Fakeador Laurie Blake, and my oh my, we are now, I guess, 2 days removed from the event. It happened on Saturday evening. We both watched it Sunday morning separately, and this is the first time we've talked about it. So much fun.
It was a blessing from Cody and the Bucks. It was, I bless you, my child, yes. Here, watch this delicious pay-per-view that we've put together.
Especially because, I don't know if everyone knows this, I did a pub crawl, an annual pub crawl on Saturday, 12 pints in 12 pubs in honour of the goal. It's called the Golden Mile, in honour of the World's End, the movie. And I did all of it, and I was really drunk still on Sunday. And I'd like, all in, I was watching All In, still drunk, as it became a hangover.
Oh,
so
terrible.
I was transitioning into headache, and this event was so good, and it was a long show, 5 hours including the 0 hour pre-show part. It flew by for me.
It was quick, yeah.
And it made me happy to be a wrestling fan. It made me just love everything. What people are saying, like, this
that
is
was the booze.
You've
confused what All In with the what booze does.
Yes, yes. There could be. Yeah, and I just became very emotionally dependent on it by the time the hangover kicked in.
I cried a bit and I said it was my best friend.
And what, like, a lot of people are saying, this was a celebration of independent wrestling. And I think we should rephrase this to, it's a celebration of non-WWE wrestling. Because independent wrestling can mean so many different things. You get companies that, independent wrestling companies, that just try and package themselves as WWE, but for families and stuff. So this really felt like non-WWE adult wrestling at its finest. I loved every second of it.
I think, yeah, it had a very good mix of, like, they did a lot of the, like, there was, like, big matches with big fight feels. There was matches that were just two of the best guys in the world going at it. There was absolute chaotic spot fest. There was hardcore segments. There was jokes. There was bits that were just designed to be hilarious. Like, it had everything in
there.
There was a celebrity match. It had everything. It had surprises. I don't know. It just, yeah, they managed to fit all of it in, and it all still worked as a coherent show, despite the fact that, you know, the story-wise stuff, like, yeah, they set things up on being the Elite, but mostly a lot of these guys have come in from different companies. They don't work together all the time. There's not a hell of a lot of story here. And they still managed to make pretty much every single match. The commentators did a fantastic job of finding an angle to make everything feel like it was actually important.
Yes. Yeah, because that is, I noticed it more at the start, but then because I went into this show, like, all the things that I didn't, like, weren't as into, I think's my fault. Because I went into this thinking, this is going to be a best bout machine. We're going to get 4 of the best matches of the year on this card. That wasn't the show, and it never said it was going to be that show. Because being the Elite is all kind of jokey, internet, in-joke stuff. And that's what the tone of the show was. It was very celebratory, it was very self-depreciating, and it was just fun. Whereas I kind of went into it thinking, okay, we're going to get a 6-star match between Jay Lethal and Flip Gordon. When that was pretty much a comedy match.
It was actually a fan service show, wasn't it? It was a very well-pitched idea that, you know, the Bucks and Cody knew what people wanted from them, and they just delivered that on a massive stage. You know the things we do normally in our regular shows? Here's that, but there's 10,000 of you in the room. Yeah. So, done.
And the crowd were brilliant. It's just... Yeah. It felt like, and Bully Ray tweeted this, he said, and this is high freaking praise, The last time he was involved in a show like that was ECW One Night Stand, where the fans and all the wrestlers just felt like it was that everyone was on the same wavelength, and it was everyone was really happy. And yeah, and I got that vibe completely. I felt like I was hanging out with 10,000 friends.
Yeah, there was
maybe again the booze.
There's booze again.
I love you guys.
Have I ever told you, computer? Should we start with the beginning then? So it opens with Cody and the Bucks coming out, really like effectively saying, you know, you are fans. We want to please you as fans. We're not going to swerve you. We're trying to give you what you want because you have bought tickets for this show. What a novel concept.
I know, unbelievable.
And even where they go, here's some pyro, and the pyro went off. They got merch. You like merch? T-shirt, guns.
Yeah, that was it.
It was great. And when it opened up, I didn't really know what to expect production-wise because originally this was just a live event. It wasn't going to be broadcast on pay-per-view and have a one-hour pre-show on a sort of a national channel in America. And this is better than Ring of Honor, production-wise. Sometimes it's just a thing of scale. Just having that many people in there makes it look better.
Yeah, it looks incredible, yeah.
But I thought the camera work, the Titantron with the screens.
And the little hatches or whatever they are.
Yeah. I thought it was tremendous.
Chevrons,
yeah. The only thing it was lacking was an LED ring post.
Yeah, that was it. Oh, you had a little one over the top. Because I love the NXT one where they look up and you get the person's name behind them on their turnbuckle.
Yeah, but and the camera work, you had a few issues with the production because you're a production man.
I mean, who am I to talk? But
as the audio peaks on
as the audio, as I'm shouting into this microphone. there was just a few bits of it's just their first thing. There's probably not a huge amount of time to do all the testing and stuff, and there's, mic's too hot, this is too low, that sort of stuff. Like, backstage is still... Some of the cameras were out of focus during the Cody Rhodes and Nick Aldis entrances, so that's kind of, annoying.
There were timing issues that we'll come on to later.
Yeah, so it was a bit my first pay-per-view kind of deal. But imagine if you can smooth that out, because, the level, the scale and all that stuff, everything else looked great. It was just a few little glitches. And, I mean, they also played into the glitches... In a section that we'll come on to, they did a setup one.
I thought that was a real glitch.
Yeah, they did a setup one, and then they did another one later, and then we'll come back to that though.
Incredible stuff. And so just like the just before the this was the pre-show, Zero Hour, which is such a nice comic booky event name for a pre-show. That's so Cody.
It's very gaming as well. Like a lot of prequel games become Zero, whatever this is.
And Matt, I think it was Matt Jackson, goes, you know what else this needs? It's a big show. A random former legend and road warrior animal just comes out on a motorbike.
For a bit.
Yeah. Like, that doesn't even do anything. And the crowd just go, yeah, okay. It was just so celebratory and fun. And that's what wrestling should be sometimes. And it still had, you just look back at that pay-per-view. And had the celebrity match. It was so varied, and it had the hardcore spots. It had the moment with Cody winning the belt. So much fun. But the Zero Hour pre-show kicked off with a really nice little match between SoCal Uncensored and the Briscoes.
Yeah, it was really good. I thought the crowd was super behind SoCal, actually, which was interesting. And the Briscoes are such a good heel team. They were they really sort of grounded the whole thing and worked over Sky for ages. And then SoCal came out as Rocky Balboa and Apollo Creed. That was great. I love that. That was wonderful. It was really good. Like, Scorpio Sky can jump unbelievably high.
It's in the name.
Yeah, it's just... it's in the name.
I really liked that there were loads of spots in this. This was just a pre-show tag match with nothing really at stake. But yeah, there was this really good bit where Kaz rolls up one of the Briscoes and then hits a Northern Lights suplex on the other one.
Because he gets told it's the wrong one.
Zicada
rolled him into a pin and they go, no, that's the wrong one. And he goes, oh.
And he holds a pin on both. I thought that was brilliant. And there was a really good near fall off the J-Driller and then a Froggy Bow. But the finish was really cool as well.
Yeah, so they were going for a Doomsday device and then Kazarian caught him and flipped out into a power slam.
Off
of Mark's shoulders. And then Scorpio jumps across them with this gigantic knee knocking him out of the way, and then they get the win. It was unbelievable.
Really good hot way to start the show.
Yeah, like, I mean, the athleticism on display there was just amazing.
Then it cuts back to, I think her name's Alicia Atout. She does a stuff for Impact, and she's interviewing Kenny Omega, and the camera beautifully pans back, and you see that she is standing really split-legged, so she looks shorter. Which
Kenny
is something
goes, why are you standing
do.
Like that?
Yeah.
Because to make you look taller.
Yeah. It's like just a nice little dig. And like that's a sort of joke that even if you're not aware of that trope in WWE, it's still funny.
Mm.
Yeah. Then we had, I mean, this sums up this show for me. The over-budget Battle Royal, which was insanity and just so much fun and brilliant athleticism, and at the end, you know, pretty good storytelling as well. So it's just I stopped writing down names.
Yeah, I couldn't. That was the thing. My one criticism of this match was it was impossible to tell what was going on. It was all brilliant, but I was just like, who's in, who's out, what's happened?
But they didn't have us in mind.
They didn't
writing notes.
No, they didn't. No, I was just going, what is going on? I loved Dalton Castle was on commentary. He did an amazing bit where he just banged on about eating cheesecake all day and then just pouted at the camera for ages.
Yes, when it showed him.
And it slowly zoomed in as he was just going, just mugging at the camera. That was amazing. It kicked off with Bully Ray immediately. So Bully Ray got heat coming down to the ring because we'd cut away and then we'd cut back. And so Bully Ray was coming down to the ring and everyone else was sort of arranged outside. He's getting booed because obviously he's beat up Flip Gordon quite recently, and then Flip Gordon hasn't appeared at All In, so as far as we know. The match kicks off, and Bully Ray immediately just gets a table and puts this luchador through it.
El Hijo de Chico?
Yes.
People have pointed out I called him a generic luchador. Apparently it's El Hijo de Chico.
Yeah, so he was meant to be the relative of someone else, wasn't he?
Something like that.
So he gets put through a table and he's out. For a very long time, and then
I completely forgot that happened. When it pays off at the end,
I called it immediately. I went,
"Did you?"
That's the thing.
Okay, I'm more of an idiot, and I was hungover.
Simon was sitting there going, "No, that's not the thing," and I was "It definitely is. It definitely is."
Who's Simon?
Simon is my housemate.
Yes. So it was just like fun spot after fun spot, like a lot. Like you said, a lot of people were immediately outside.
Yes.
So it was like, did you? So who went under the second rope and who was over the top? I don't know.
But I feel like some people did, like Colt Cabana did a moonsault to the outside. Did he not?
Yeah.
But that's going over the top rope, is it not?
No, he went out onto the apron and did a springboard off the second,
Fine.
I think. And my favourite bit of this, although the Jordan, what's her name? Jordan, the lady in it.
Jordan Grace.
Yeah, that was really good. But my favourite bit was actually, everyone's on the outside apart from Billy Gunn and Tommy Dreamer, and they're setting up this huge dive spot. The crowd are getting riled up. They run off one rope, go into the other, and then just step outside and start doing forearms. Fantastic.
I enjoyed Moose. Punched everyone, just did the Moose and then clocked him. And then as he wound up to do he wound up to do the big punch, and then everyone just jumps him at that exact moment. Yeah. That was really good. Rocky Romero was
running
around
wild,
doing loads of clothes. Like, what was his name? Marco Stunt. The tiny guy did the
big afro.
Yeah, and he did a couple of amazing bits. The Hurricane got his choke slams in as well. That was great.
Yeah. But the afro guy, the bit where he was on the apron and he was nearly eliminated, and Bully Ray got his hair
and pulled him
by his hair. I can't see how that was gimmicked. That must have been excruciating.
Yeah. I mean, there was a bit where he ran at Brian Cage, and Brian Cage starts doing a tilt-a-whirl, and he hits this crazy lung blower off of that. He did some amazing bits. Yeah. There was a bit where he was chopping Bully Ray and no-selling, but the crowd were just wooing anyway. That was really good.
I thought Brian Cage was a standout in this as well. He is incredible.
He's unbelievable. The spot he does where he catches people diving off the top rope, but in a suplex.
Yeah. And just deadlifts them up. Yeah, it's incredible.
And then he did the was up to Bully Ray as well towards the end. So as it got more and more, Jordan Grace squatted Cage. There's too much in this match to really describe it accurately. You could just like every time you're like, oh yeah, and then another thing happened, and another thing.
This is the kind of match where you could just like, okay, we're going to go on a night out. What should we watch on YouTube before we go out to get us in the mood?
Insane match.
Just put this match on.
Yeah.
Because there was no downtime because it was just spot, spot, spot. But they were all really fun. Mm. They all made sense. The best friends stuff with Chucky T. But yes, it ends with Bully wins. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. well, Bully versus Jay, I guess that's pretty good. That's all Ring of Honor-y. And then the luchador that was taken out at the start gets in the ring, reveals himself to be Flip Gordon, eliminates Bully. Crowd go crazy. Brilliant. Really good.
Really well done.
Then we got the actual pay-per-view, which had Justin Roberts as a cat, just one bit of ring announcing.
Why not?
And then he was, of course, the former WWE announcer. Then the American Anthem with Pyro, and for the, I imagine there was a lot of a travelling crowd there.
Mm.
So a lot of British people just, like me, probably going, man, the Americans love their anthem.
Oh, no. Check my phone.
Yeah. They really like doing riffs on the anthem.
Mm.
Like, it's who can have the most
vocal warbles, the Ariana Grande-ing.
Yeah. What, the Gropes?
Hmm?
That was a thing from the weekend. Aretha Franklin's funeral. Apparently she got slightly groped by a thing. So we had a three-man commentary team.
Hell of a thing to just drop in.
Yeah. We had a three-man... I'm still hungover. We had a three-man commentary team, and initially I'm like, this is potentially starting from scratch. Everyone really likes two-man commentary teams.
Mm.
The three-man thing, that's just the WWE thing. So I was a bit annoyed by that. It was Excalibur, Ian Ribicani? How do you say his name from Ring of Honor? And Don Callis. Mm. But you know what? Like, they were really good.
It worked.
And they had a revolving bunch of cameo people as well for various matches.
Which worked less good.
Sometimes.
Less well in some places. But yeah, I thought it was really strong. And I think they did well to... Because they didn't necessarily just do everyone took turns sort of calling bits of the matches.
Yeah.
And then had their own sort of character that they were working with.
Yeah.
Where they would, they would chime in with their brand of humour or their thing to say. So it was interesting. It wasn't so clearly the WWE thing of we've got one man doing the actual play-by-play, one man doing colour, and then an extra one.
And then an idiot just yelling.
Who gets to say one or two things every so often.
And then
both other ones turn around and go, shut up. And then they carry on.
So the main card kicked off with a good match.
Yeah.
But if I'm looking at this card, I wouldn't have put this on. If you were going to have time and issues later on, maybe you should have just given yourself half an hour of leeway rather than have this match.
Yeah, I think I've read a few people who sort of said, what's interesting about this match, though, is that it's kind of like everything else is all people quite closely associated with All In.
Mm.
And this is a match where it's just an old school indie guy who's been around for ages and is a veteran, and a young guy who's kind of coming up, having a great match, and it's the epitome of indie wrestling.
Yeah.
And you kick off your show, you kick off your big independent wrestling show with something people aren't particularly hyped for, but is a perfect example of why indie wrestling is great, because these two guys put on a really good match, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, all the matches were really, above average. I get that, but I think you could have had that cut.
We could have had more Rey Mysterio, I guess, couldn't we? So.
Yeah, it was Matt Cross versus MJF. I'm not familiar with MJF. He's pretty damn good.
He is pretty
good. I really like his heel work. And Cross won with a shooting star. Of course he did. Then we got a Nick Aldis interview backstage with Sean Moody doing it, which just made it feel like a big-time boxing event.
Mm.
Just already. They built on that a lot more in the actual match. But, yeah, I really loved the presentation of that feud. Then we got Christopher Daniels taking on Stephen Amell in a match that apparently went to time, in which case... You should have given that match less time. Thought it went a bit too long, but I was really impressed with Stephen Amell.
He did, yeah. He did a lot of big spots that actually paid off. The coast to coast drop kick. He put himself through a table at one point. What else did he do
tonight, Matthew? I'm going to be Shane McMahon.
Yeah, he got. Basically, he got when he went through the table with missing the elbow drop on the outside. Everyone was shouting, "Broken arrow." Broken
That's
arrow.
Good. Witty.
Witty.
They started trading some I can do it better spots at the start. Like Daniels will do something, but then Amell will do the same thing. I thought it was a really well worked match in that Stephen Amell, as impressive as he is not a wrestler.
No.
And
that was his third match ever.
Yeah. And they built this around emphasizing his strengths and hiding his weaknesses. And you had like Jerry Lynn as a special guest referee in there because it's Jerry Lynn.
Yeah. I thought that bit at the end actually was a bit overbooked, where he got out and he picked them up and put them back in the ring to be like, I want a winner, you know, and it's like...
Otherwise, you kind of need that, though, because otherwise why have Jerry Lynn out there if he's not going to get a spot? But yeah, it was really impressive stuff from Amel, and that's largely down to Daniels, who's just such a good wrestler, and he can structure matches like this in his sleep, really. But yeah, Christopher Daniels won, as he should have.
With the best moonsault ever.
Yes. Then we got the women's four-way. I've got to be honest, I was hanging pretty hard here. I want to go back and rewatch pretty much this entire card, but I haven't got many notes for Tessa Blanchard beating Chelsea Green, Madison Rayne, and Britt Baker.
I do.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I loved
this match.
I really loved it. I think I haven't really seen much of Chelsea Green before. And I love the hot mess gimmick. I think it's great. I like the two-face thing she was doing. I liked at the beginning she was doing hat, like they were going around doing handshakes. She got offered a hand, and then the person immediately noticed that it was the bad hand.
Yeah.
Changed. And then she was like, ooh. And then the other hand was grabbing it, trying to stop her.
Like Dr. Strangelove.
It was really good. She had some great spots as well, I thought, in that. Like she walked the ropes, stopped for a bit, did a wiggle, jumped around. She did a Canadian destroyer at one point. Her unprettier is... awesome. I think better than Christian's.
And then the woo-woo.
Oh, yeah, she did the old broski boot, because she's going out with Zack Ryder. I thought she was the highlight for me. However, Tessa Blanchard is obviously the big star, I think, in this scenario. She's incredibly athletic. I think she's got that thing where she just, it's like, she's on that slight level above where you're like, okay, well, this is, you know, she just could pass easily for, like, a top star wrestler in any, like, you know,
she's got a presence,
even in like mixed matches. I think she could be that Ronda Rousey style character of, like, you know, I can hang with the boys kind of vibe.
I do agree.
And she did some amazing stuff in this match. I thought the end was a bit janky.
Unfortunately,
it didn't really make sense. But
from what I, because I went back and rewatched it, because I was like, is that the end? So it seemed like because Tessa Blanchard got the pin, and it seemed like the two other girls tried to break it up, and it looked like they did break it up, which made it look like a near fall, but it wasn't. It was the finish of the match. So
I think the camera, I think that was the camera being on the wrong side, though, because the camera was behind as they jumped,
but the crowd were confused as well.
Yeah, as they jumped in, the crowd were behind. I think they got the problem is they got too close with the jump,
and
then it just became a bit like, did they make it? Did they not? Like, you know, and then I think whoever was down got a half kick out as well, like that kind of like second too late one. And then they went, that's the end, okay, done now.
Play your off. The match was good. I didn't like all the women hugging in the ring afterwards. Just because I'm just over this. I feel like I've had it for months.
Yeah, and I think also, like, it was a bit weird in the sort of structuring as well, because Tessa came out. Tessa's a heel, I believe. She acted like a heel in the match, but when she came out and she was hugging, like, all of her family and all this stuff, she got a very babyface entrance and then came into the match as this sort of, like, overpowering heel-type character. And so I thought that was a bit, like... I was a bit like, oh, that's confusing now.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm supposed to think.
Tell me
what I'm meant to think, Cody, for God's sake.
Well, speaking
of Cody.
It
was a bit clumsy in places as well, but overall I thought it was really fun.
Speaking of Cody, next up we got the NWA title match, which I was surprised at. I thought this would come later in the show.
I would have thought it would have been at least close to the main event, because it's such a big moment, but yeah, they got out of the way quite quickly.
Yeah, and it was Cody Rhodes versus Nick Aldis, and... this was presented like it was a boxing match. Cody came out, like, the camera started them with the old Goldberg entrance, walking backstage with
his team.
Who was with him? It was Jeff, not Jeff Jarrett. DDP. It was DDP and Tommy Dreamer, of course, in honor of Cody's dad, Dusty Rhodes. DDP loves Dusty Rhodes. It's credit to get him in the industry, and his dog, who I believe is called Phantom, and of course Brandy wearing, like, a gold mirage, it seemed.
A golden mirage.
Yeah, like someone had just blurred out the parts you're not meant to see.
She'd been pixelated.
Yeah, but in IRL. And apparently, so I read this, Cody did an interview afterwards with Macaulay Culkin's podcast, and he said that originally Phantom wasn't going to come, the dog wasn't going to come down to the ring with them, but the dog got such a big pop in the behind-the-scenes video part that Cody was like, screw it, I'm taking him down. And he took him down, and apparently Brandy was looking at Cody with this death stare, being like, what are you doing with that dog?
Yeah. Well, I guess like taking your dog out in front of 10,000 people or shouting at it, it's quite troubling. But that dog looked like it was having a great time.
Loved it.
He looked wonderfully happy.
I'm surprised he didn't do a few spots.
Yeah.
Everyone else did. Yeah. Nick Aldis comes out in the same way. And just, it looks so cool. It didn't look like it. It felt real. And with Jeff Jarrett in a suit, which just made everything look all the more professional. And Earl Hebner is in the ring.
It was Earl Hebner, yeah. Got a little speech.
Yep. He said, there's going to be a fair match. This is an honour for me to call this with the NWA. Like, the NWA title hasn't meant anything for ages. I know they've been building it up with Billy Corgan and Dave Lagana. But this is... Last time I was interested in the NWA title was Colt Cabana and Adam Pearce, I think. And that was 2011. So...
This made it feel important and relevant again. And like, you know, and obviously we're building to... a very big moment here, the idea that, you know, if Cody walks away with a title in this match, he's continuing the legacy of his father. They become the first ever father-son duo to have held the title, and it's on his own pay-per-view.
Yeah, everyone wanted him to win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was, and everyone kind of knew as well. Like, I always thought he was winning, but that didn't stop me loving this match. Loved the presentation, as I've already said multiple times. But if they do make All In... more of a promotion-based thing. I think the NWA title should be its main title. Just like New Japan have the IWGP titles. I would like the NWA to be the governing body behind which titles All In has.
Oh, that'd be good, yeah.
So this was just an old-school match. Really simple stuff. Great blade job from Cody in honour of his blade job dad. If you ever look at Dusty's forehead, it's just scar tissue. From all the blade jobs he did back in the 80s and 90s. But Cody's selling was great, selling the lower backer load. But there was a weird bit where Brandy got in the ring to protect him from a Nick Aldis flying elbow and then took the elbow.
Yeah.
And Brandy rolled out.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And I just didn't know what that was meant to be there for.
Oh, I enjoyed that. I thought that was good because I thought they set it up earlier because Cody had obviously been beaten down. He was bleeding. He was lying in the ring after a point and he'd taken an avalanche power slam and had a figure four locked in and stuff. And then... Well, no, the figure had been reversed.
Yes.
And then I think as he got to the ropes, he was lying flat at the apron. And she was leaning in front of him and she said to him, "You don't need to do this. Like, you can stop. You don't have to do it." And he took his hands away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he pulls his hands away. And as soon as he does that, Aldis grabs his ankles and drags him back into the ring and starts beating him up. And that's when he starts going for the elbow drop. And she dives in the ring at that point and then covers him to protect him from the elbow.
But I feel like if you have that spot, Cody, I get that Cody was, like, Cody didn't even see it or, like, go and check on her. Mm. It didn't really get any heat. Nick Aldis.
Well, he was out, wasn't he? I think that's the point. He was, like, unconscious. And then when he hits Brandy, that lets Cody recover at that point and then get back up. And then that, it sort of threw Nick off his game.
Yeah.
He was, like, he was a bit taken aback by, you know, the
fact
that she got...
He didn't want to hit the
Exactly. He jumped before... I think they were saying that he jumped as she covered.
Yeah.
So
he
sort of had already committed by that point. So it's like, oh, I might as well drive it home.
But then... Brandy was fine about 5 minutes later.
Yeah, she was completely fine by the Flip Gordon match. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. She'd be taped up.
She was just underneath the out.
It
was quite conforming, so maybe it was holding her in place.
Having said that, I love the match. I love the moment at the end. I love the presentation. It just felt big.
Mm.
This card needed something like this, like an actual, because there's no real titles. I know the ROH title was on the line later, but this felt like a proper title match with stakes.
Oh, and it changed. I think the thing is, like, proving that it set up the idea that anything could happen here rather than, you know, and the same with the Jay Lethal match later on. They managed to make it feel like Flip could have won that. And I think that's the point. It's like, you know, you don't want to, because I guess the kind of, the feeling you would get at a show where this is not a Ring of Honor show and this is not a New Japan show, if any of those titles come over and are on the line, you'd be like, well, they're not going to change, are they? Because you're not going to do it on a show that's not your own show. However, this made it feel like these things can happen wherever.
Sure.
I thought the finish was a bit like, I don't know why it didn't finish when he hit the Beautiful Disaster and then Crossroads.
Mm.
That should have just been the end. I don't know why it then went on a little bit longer and then there was a roll up and then the end.
Yeah, I didn't mind the roll up actually. I thought it, because Nick Aldis, I thought, was really, really good in this too. Mm. And it kind of protects him a little bit. It makes him feel bigger. But and it sets up a rematch, I guess.
Yeah,
like, I'm more interested in a rematch now.
I thought he was great. He was really good.
But it was a very good match, but just the larger context of things made it superb.
Mm.
Hangman Page versus Joey Janela, which was our predicted sleeper hit. It was insane. These two guys really did a lot of spots.
There was a lot of bits where I was just like, I can't believe they're doing that.
Yeah, like there was one bit I thought, no, he's not gonna hit like a, it was like a burning hammer properly onto the ladder.
Yeah.
And it totally looked like I thought he was gonna release him earlier so Janela's head did not go straight onto the ladder. Nope, he just hit it. It looked brutal.
Joey Janela's not gonna be working in his 30s, is he?
No. He's gonna be out. Yeah. But weirdly, having said this, you know, you had the Hangman Page and Joey Janela killing themselves. You had the Joey Ryan return with these inflatable dick druids, which was hilarious, I thought. I'm sure Jim Cornette is ranting somewhere about it. But the standout, really, was Penelope.
Yeah, oh, that was unbelievable. Her bit where she it was so good. Like, so they'd worked this whole thing, and then she got in the ring to...
She's Joey Janela's girlfriend, by the way.
Yeah, so she'd come up.
Or something. Bad girl, yeah.
Yeah, so they'd done all these bits, and Paige was on top, and then she got in the ring, and he goes to hit her, and she just backflips away and just keeps flipping, dodges under him, and then hits a cutter. And then he rolls to the outside, and she crossbodies off the top rope to the outside. Unbelievable. It's just like suddenly to just be like, oh, now she's doing loads of backflips. I was like, what?
It was like the Matrix had just started happening in the ring. And then later she gets out like to distract Paige. Mm. She gets a bin bag, and the bin bag has Joey Ryan's cowboy boots, which Paige has been obsessing over because the Being the Elite storyline is Paige had killed Joey Ryan. And Paige just super kicks her head off. It looked great. And because they'd set it up already that she was hanging with the guys, I didn't feel like, ooh, that was weird. Mm. I felt like that was awesome. So, some of the spots in this were insane. Right at the start, I think this, because other stuff happened later, this is getting taken away a bit. A fall-away slam onto Janela while the chair's set up.
Oh,
right,
that
at
was
the start.
Horrible.
It looked really nasty. There was a.
He managed to sort of land mostly sat up, though, so I feel like hopefully he's okay.
Yeah.
At that point, he's okay. Later on, because he then gets power bombed off the entrance ramp over some steps through. So they set up two tables, and he barely makes the first one.
Yeah,
like they
yeah,
like, I feel like Paige was like, "No, I'm strong enough. It's fine. Don't worry." He just goes.
Yeah, it was
horrible.
Inset, and there was the burning hammer on the ladder. Mm. Which was suspended outside, yeah. And then
on a barrel as well. He landed on the barrel end as well.
Yeah,
with no give.
And there was also the finish, which was I can't remember what Paige calls it. It's his finish.
Rites of passage. It's like a reverse tombstone.
Yeah, yeah, that's essentially it. Off the ladder through a table. Oh my god!
When they set that up, I was like, are they going to do that?
I thought they were going to reverse it and then hit something safe.
Yeah, I was like, are they going to do that? And then they did. I was like, oh my God, what's wrong with these two guys?
It was insanity. And then just to cap off the insanity, after that match, the lights cut out. The lights cut out, Taker style. And Joey Ryan returns from the dead, flanked either side by men dressed in inflatable penis costumes.
A phalanx of phalluses, Don Callis called
nice.
It.
Nice. Oh, Callis is the best.
For his resurrection.
Oh, perfect. The pun is strong.
So they just did lots of puns at this point.
And because I was watching this with headphones on, and my lady partner was sitting next to me watching some form of daytime. I think it was probably RuPaul's Drag Race. And I just said, look at this. And she was like, what the hell is going on? I said, works better if I don't explain it. And she was laughing.
Not a singular tuck. The guys in the dick suits were trying incredibly hard not to smirk as they came out seriously. And they were all looking at each other just like.
Yeah. So, and that was the point where I was like, okay, this isn't the New Japan wrestling show, is it? This isn't the Ring of Honor Match of the Year contender show. This is a fun show.
This is super fun.
Yeah.
I love that. And Paige's, I think Paige's reaction was brilliant. He just acted it really well. Ryan coming out was amazing. They were talking about the great beyond on the commentary. Don Callis had a great line where he said, I'm an expert in penises, but not in the great beyond. Rest in penis chance. Joey did all the kind of classic, I'm wrestling with my downstairs bits, and then rolled him to his druids,
yeah,
who then carried Paige to the back,
yeah, just like the Undertaker spot back in the day. It was crazy. It was very, very fun.
Yeah,
and then we got weirdly so that I was looking forward to Jay Lethal and Flip Gordon as like a proper serious match.
Mm.
Because I was invested in the Flip Gordon getting booked and getting that title shot. And while I really enjoyed what happened, I would have preferred they did it my way. Because what happened is Jay Lethal is walking backstage ready for the match, and he suddenly gets slapped on the back. And that turns him from serious Ring of Honor champion Jay Lethal into his old Black Machismo character, which is a Randy Savage parody or homage, I suppose, from these TNA days. Which is hilarious and very funny.
It was very funny.
But yeah, I didn't expect that, and I don't think I wanted it either.
Yeah, I think it worked. Because there was a couple of times in the matches where he changed back and forward a few times as well.
Yeah.
I thought you got some good stuff. I mean, like, it would have been cool to see them just do a normal match, because I think Flip Gordon is, like, when he came down to the ring and his entrance is he just springboards up and then 1 foot flips into the ring off the top rope. You're like, I don't think physics works the same way for him. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, he's an incredible, the stuff he does.
Gravity wouldn't have been discovered if he was involved.
And he hasn't been wrestling for that long either. I'll be curious to see where he is in a few years' time when he's got more ring work experience.
Mm.
Because that's what lacks from him sometimes is just the more storytelling elements. But athletically, he's not many people can touch him in the world. Apparently, the whole Black Machismo stuff came from Lanny Poffo, who is Randy's real-life brother. And apparently they were just talking at the StarCast convention the day before, and Lanny was like, do you want to do the Black Machismo thing? And Jay Lethal goes, yeah, all right then, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, but then he comes out in his jacket, doesn't he? From his debut at WCW, was it?
So, yes, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's what they were saying on commentary. So he comes out in the actual jacket with Lanny Poffo taking him to the ring as sort of a manager.
Yeah.
And it was, I just thought it was, because he was doing like different voices as well. It was, I thought it was fun. It was like, it was, I love the bit where he was going, he got immediately got out of the ring and moved Brandi Rhodes round to his corner.
Yes.
And then like, was like, there you go.
All like the Miss Elizabeth spots. It was really, and then they did a really good bit of Randy Savage versus Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
In near the end where Flip Gordon fired up like Hogan. Yeah. And then instead of doing the big boot and leg drop and stuff, he just did loads of Flip Gordon flips.
Mm.
It was really good. And just Lethal wins by lethal injection. And it was fun. But I would have preferred it to have been a normal match.
Yeah.
Without the comedy. Bully Ray comes down afterwards and beats up everyone. But then Colt Cabana runs down for the save. And all three men put Bully through a table, shield powerbomb style.
I like when he runs down to the table and he runs down to the ring and he's looking under the ring for tables. And he has to go to like three different sides to find a table because there's been so many table spots. But also because he's not used to getting them himself.
Of course. Yeah, I liked it when they...
And someone does shout from the crowd, well, where's Devon?
it was a good crowd. Good bands from the crowd. When they picked Bully up to put him through the table, you can just hear Bully go, oh, crap!
Yeah, but, well, and the crowd also did the Roman Reigns.
Next up, we got... And so after me going, okay, it's not going to be the great in-ring wrestling show that I thought it was, but that's fine, it's all fun, it's all celebratory.
You're wrong.
Then we got Kenny Omega versus Pentagon Jr., which was incredible.
It was unbelievable.
Oh,
what a match.
These two guys. So it was... There's something about these two guys in the ring.
Mm.
They just, like, they could have just not done anything. They could have just done arm drags and Irish whips. And I probably would have still enjoyed it the same.
I mean, people were standing on their feet before the match even began.
Yes.
People stood up and were screaming before the match had even began.
Mm. It was, it felt like the first great wrestling match on the show.
Mm.
Like they were explicitly told backstage, go out there and do your thing. Whereas everyone else, I think it might have been, go out there and have fun.
Yeah.
But they were told.
It's one of those difficult things then with shows like this where you do that and then it's like the pacing of it. It's like obviously this is not for anything. So there are other matches coming up where they're bigger maybe in terms of stakes. But yeah, to put this here and then be like, well, have fun. The rest of you can come next, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Knock yourself out. It's like the same reason that Ciampa and Gargano's matches go on are the main event of NXT, because nothing could follow that. And also because they've destroyed the ring area.
Yeah, they've just ripped it all up.
But yeah, like there's the sort of... This would be incredibly hard to follow.
Mm.
I don't envy Marty Scurll and Okada.
No, and yeah, and well, they had to go 12 minutes over time to bring it back. Kind of follow it. So this was, it was just awesome. They did really good chemistry together.
Mm.
Penta's
on the apron.
Yeah, the package part. So the package power driver that he does is the Fear Factor.
It's called the Fear Factor.
Right.
Yeah.
When he hits it on the ring apron, it was just like, oh my god, Penta might win here.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think they managed to,
because it was the arm break spot.
Yeah, and they managed to tell this story that like it built to a point where it actually felt believable that Penta would win. And you know that Kenny's not going to lose realistically because he's been on loan from New Japan.
So the Bullet Club show.
Yeah, and it's a Bullet Club show, and they're not going to let him lose to somebody who doesn't even work for New Japan here. However, it did feel like Penta could win, and that Fear Factor on the apron, the way Kenny bounced off his head, unbelievable. There was a good bit also just as like subtle, I think, storytelling from the commentary team where they said that Kenny is the greatest wrestler to come out of Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Really?
Yeah.
So subtle.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought that was just like, because it was Callis talking about it, and he's also from there, right?
Oh, that kind of play. Yeah,
so they were playing back to that. So he was because they were talking about Callis. They kept mentioning that Callis had a wrestling career, and he gets being like, oh, I wasn't very good, blah, 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 blah. Kenny is the greatest wrestler to come out of where I'm from.
Well, that explains why what happened next, he pushed over Callis out of all this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just an incredible match. One Winged Angel for the win. I would have happily seen 10 minutes more of this.
Yeah.
Like, I was not... It's not like... It almost ended right at the right time because I was still wanting more. But, oh, yeah, this was really good. And then Kenny's celebrating. The lights cut out. And this is where they play it like you can even hear Matt Jackson. He like gets on the commentary thing and goes, sorry, this, you know, this is our first time. This is actually a mistake. And apparently they had someone running, like a production member running up the ramp.
Really?
To, in the live.
Because so. They had a blackout previously in the evening, I think.
But Joey Janela one, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they've dipped the lights. They did the lights previously and then stuff had happened. And then, yeah. And then here it was like, you know, they were like, oh, it's an actual production gaffe. And
yeah.
And then the lights come back up and everyone carries on. Kenny carries on celebrating for a little bit. Penta's still lying in the ring. Except it's not Penta, is it?
Penta stands up and starts attacking Kenny. You're like, oh, I still didn't know what was happening. I was like, okay. Oh, maybe they're just trying to get the crowd back after that weird blackout. And then he removes his mask, and it's Chris Jericho.
It's because he hits a codebreaker first, doesn't he?
Yeah. I still didn't get it.
Well, because they were saying is like, you know, he's not got he's not got the Zero Fear tattoo, and he's not got like one of his arms. Obviously, is completely like tattooless. Yes. So yeah, they were like, I noticed this sort of immediately as that you saw that close up of his whatever it is wing tattoo that he's got there. I was like, oh, that's Jericho.
Yeah.
And then the codebreaker, and then the reveal. Oh, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, and then he just goes, I'll see you at the cruise.
Kenny Omega, I'll see you at the Jericho cruise. And then walks off.
Genius. And walks off, he sort of pushes the commentary table and that sends Don Callis falling over.
Yeah.
And that was a really nicely done spot. I thought that was an incredible angle.
Yes.
And not that the show needed it, but considering there was all the Neville and CM Punk rumours, like... This really nicely placated any of that.
Well, I think also, but yeah, and also it's the one thing that people I don't think were expecting. Like people didn't really, Jericho turning up wasn't as talked about as Punk or Neville or people like that. And so then to have Jericho just suddenly appear was like, oh yeah, this is everything I wanted, but yes. I didn't know I wanted because we were so busy talking about CM Punk being there that we wasted all this opportunity to be like, could Jericho turn up and just code break a Kenny Omega from nowhere?
While
dressed as Pentagon Jr. Like,
it was a great
so
match
cool.
And a fantastic angle afterwards. Loved it. Another very good match next was Marty Scurll versus Kazuchika Okada. Huge pop for Okada when he came out.
Oh, yeah.
Like probably the one of the biggest pops of the night.
Mm. He came out like he was a god.
Yes.
He just walked out like, adore me.
Yes, wrestling fans, yes. I give you the wrestling. Thank me for it with cheers. And just before Skull came out, he had a skit backstage where there were some waggy fingers going, you can't wrestle us, go serious match. And he breaks their fingers, which was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they told the story of, this is serious Marty going up against very tall Okada.
Yeah.
And it was, they told that really well. I felt like the crowd dipped out. They weren't as hot for this.
It slowed at places, I think. It was one of those things. I mean, also, that's kind of Marty's style in places. It's like, you know, a lot of limb manipulation, a lot of that kind of stuff.
And yeah.
I think after seeing Pentagon and Kenny just... pull off crazy moves at each other for the Jericho thing. I think you just flag. It's not like you can't help it at this point. It was still an amazing match, but yeah, I think you can't help being like just a slight dip. I love the fact that they were selling this story that, you know, people would be like, oh, could we not have had Okada versus Omega 5 or whatever, you know, like, and instead actually what you get is something you couldn't ever see in New Japan because they're in different weight classes. And then they tell this story that Marty wants to move up from being a junior heavyweight to being a full heavyweight. And then he's trying to prove it by challenging the god of heavyweights in New Japan, you know. So like, and Marty proved he can hang with Okada. I thought there was some really, really cool, fun spots in this. I love the bit where Okada was setting up for the Rainmaker and he signals to the crowd and Marty just snatches the finger. Like, I love that. It's so good.
I really like the chicken wings because I love the chicken wing anyway, but it didn't have the full like spinny round setup comedy that he usually does. And Marty locked in the chicken wing. Okada for ages like manages to get out of it, sits up, and you think, oh, Okada's gotten out of that. But Marty just jumps in and locks it back in again. I thought it was great. And then that led to the referee, Tiger Tori, being knocked down. Mm. And that's when Marty... And I like this part of the story where Marty was trying to hang, but actually he is a villain. So he got the umbrella, and it was an all-in branded umbrella, and he hit him, and then hit his own Rainmaker, but Okada kicked out.
And he gets this incredibly close, too.
Yes.
It was like 2.99.
Yeah. I bought into that. Yeah. I thought that was going to... And that I thought that levelled up the match near the end.
Yeah.
And then Akada hits his own for the win.
It was fairly like... Yeah, it moved quite slowly. And then there was a point they built up to this... Marty kept teasing a brainbuster and not being able to get it. And as soon as he got the brainbuster, that's when the match suddenly just shifted a gear. And everyone was like mega into it again.
Yeah, that brainbuster was a huge pop. Mm. There you go. But unfortunately... This is one of the matches that went over time. So those last three matches, but it's Wrestling Observer and PW Insider, so it sounds like that's what happened. Paige and Janella overwent by 15 minutes.
I think they probably overestimated how quickly they could stand up after what they were doing to each other. They were like, yeah, no, it's fine. We'll just get back up and we'll carry on.
And all the Joey Ryan stuff, you've got to think. Yeah. And Omega and Pentagon also went long, as did... Okada and Skrull. Mm. Apparently that was the longest, like it overran by about 16 minutes. And unfortunately that meant that this incredible on paper six-man tag between the Young Bucks and Kota Ibushi against Rey Mysterio, Phoenix and Bandido being like the standout guy from this show, I thought.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
I thought he was incredible. I've never really seen him before, but he's going to be this is not even a planned plug. He's going to be at Wrestling Media Con. He's in the Super J-Cup, the British J-Cup for Rev Pro. So we're actually going to get to see him live.
I'm going to kiss him.
Mm. What, with that mask?
Yes.
You can't get to his
lips. I'm going to kiss him on the mask.
Lucha lips. Fellow luchadors, you can talk stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to. I feel like he'll be like, no, you're not a luchador. Yeah.
But have you not seen my mask?
I've got a mask. It's... I bought it off Amazon.
So this main event was going to be half an hour long. And it was cut to just 12 minutes.
What a 12 minutes, though.
Well, it's not like they cut stuff out of the match. They just did it all in 12 minutes.
It was unbelievable. Like
I said in my review, it was one long hot tag.
Yeah. Rey Mysterio's Wolverine gear.
Oh, that was amazing. He looked great.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, classic
He's in amazing shape as Rey Mysterio at the moment. He's...
Yeah, and presumably on his way to WWE now very shortly.
I hope so, because I want to see him all the time.
The Young Bucks were incredible. Kota Ibushi is incredible. Rey Fénix just running along the ropes like it's nothing. Incredible. Mysterio in his Wolverine outfit. Yeah. And Bandido, my new favourite wrestler this week. Yeah.
I can't believe that the running across the ropes thing that Fénix does, where he just runs across and just boots them in the face and then and just jumps off like it's nothing.
Yeah, like that's just a part of the... Yeah. It's like the canvas.
It's fine. This is, you know...
Oh,
I'd love
amazing.
To see what he can do with water. Just stroll across it.
There was this bit where all the luchas hit their top rope dives to the outside. Mm. Jackson...
The amount of spins as well they all got.
Yeah. Matt Jackson does a running senton off the stage ramp area. Rey hits the frog splash, like a tribute to Eddie, but Matt kicks out.
Triple Hurricane Run is after dodging a triple super kick, yeah. And then there was a super kick party where everyone was trying to nip up to do a springboard and they just kept knocking them down. Yeah. That was great.
And then a Meltzer driver for the win, which, you know, is very fitting considering it was Dave Meltzer's tweet who sort of sparked this entire event. And there we go, a really fun main event to cap off just a very special show.
Yeah, I wish it's a shame that everything went long because it would have been nice to see the moment at the end where the Bucks stand tall and Cody probably comes out at that point.
Yeah.
And they get to thank everyone for being there and, you know, that. Yeah, like, it would have been really nice to have a proper end rather than just everyone going, well, that was it, and then everyone was
See you next week.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, like, the match finishes... And then it's about 4 seconds of Ian Ribicani going, yeah, well, thank you very much for all it. And as the end sting is playing, sped up.
Well, I hope they just filmed it anyway. Mm-hmm. I hope they just filmed it anyway and they'll put it out later on.
Yeah, there's been a few clips online of people's phones, but nothing official. So just what a special show. Like this for me is in that echelon of Money in the Bank 2011, ECW One Night Stand, those special fan servicing shows that are so precious. I really hope this is the start of like a promotion.
Yeah. I think it could so easily be as well. Like they could do one of these every, you know, 4 months.
Yeah, that's your big
in that exact same size or bigger and it would still be this popular, I think.
Yeah.
And then you could start doing a show in smaller venues that leads into it, and actually then they can start having proper storylines, because they've shown here that they're very good at actually making storylines out of almost with very little to work with, in fact, and they actually managed to bring in at least bits from other promotions to sell that and then tell a story as you go through.
Maybe that's the way to do it. Like, you have Being the Elite as essentially your weekly show, and on that you have what's there already, but also you feature a match from this promotion with the Being the Elite guys, but it's a Defy Wrestling, it's a Beyond Wrestling, it's something from ROH. And then you culminate all those storylines in your three pay-per-views a year, which would be this. It's like quite a nice model to base it on. But yes, overall, I gave it 4 out of 5.
I think, I'd like a pretty high 4.
Yeah,
like a really, goddamn really high, a really high 4.
It was just missing like a couple more super classic matches. And then it would have been a 5 quite easily. But yeah.
And it would have been nice if the timings had worked out.
Yes, It's such a shame for that 6-man tag main event. But still very fun. Let us know what you thought down below, and that's all we've got time for. Click the videos that have just appeared on our laps to catch up with the latest WrestleTalk awesome things. This button right here, which will make you a pledge hammer on Patreon so we can get weekly NXT reviews happening. I've been Ollie Davis. This has been El Fagador, and that was Rambling.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.